appreciate the opportunity to be here. I wish y'all had spoke a little longer. I was not through writing my talk. Before I get into any of my comments, I want to take a quick point of personal privilege. It won't mean as much to many of you. I should have done this at a program yesterday. But Dr. George Mullendore, Mississippi agronomist, who was the icon of agronomists back in his day in the 80s and in the very early 90s and parts of the 70s, and I always said I have a reason to be the way I am because George Mullendore was my 4-H agent. That means I'm crazy, for those of you that don't know. But George passed away just very recently, and he was, along with one of the icons, and I know Texas and Louisiana also, but George passed away. But then on a place closer to home to this meeting that I know a number of you know, Mike Stevens down in Louisiana, Mandeville, see, I kept wanting to say Metairie, and down in Mandeville, Louisiana, passed away. And Mike was pro-farmer marketing 1,000%. He would go anywhere to talk to a farmer. He was a commodities broker, but he never promoted himself as a broker as far as trying to recruit business. He'd do anything for you with respect to your program. Just an outstanding person, and he passed away after really a long illness, actually, fight with respect to heart condition. But a great person, and I know taught options here at the Beltwide just a number of times. But I wanted to get that said and done, so I appreciate you bearing with me in doing that. What I want to do today, about four things. I want to look at the current U.S. situation, the current world situation, look at 2013 acreage, what we see there, and then talk just briefly about prices or where I think they might go. But to remind you that the disclaimer on prices, what Yogi Berra said about predicting. Yogi said, prediction is difficult, especially when it's about the future. So that I have a difficult role in that regard. I don't know, Mark, you and Craig, Macon Edwards told me one time I was showing, I think, the major part of my anatomy when I climbed the flagpole of price prediction. Macon could say things like that anywhere, anytime, and get away with them. I can't. And before talking first about the U.S. situation, the current U.S. situation, let me just say the market is always right. The market is always right. It's those of us that think we understand the market that are wrong. I know there are a whole lot more people, a whole lot smarter than me, involved in this market and making major decisions, but a whole lot of people have felt this market should be 10 to 15 cents lower. In reality, the world economy slash the world political economy has said loud and clear, absolutely not. And I would suggest to you that this past year, when the market slipped down, the nearby slipped down December to 64 plus, right at 65 cents, and stayed there about 30 seconds, that put in a long-term low in prices. Not a short-term low, but a long-term low in prices. And actually, I never thought they'd go below 70 cents, but again, I'm always wrong. U.S. production, according to USDA, is 17.3 million bales. Exports, 11.8 million bales, giving us a carryover of 5.4 million. Those might change tomorrow, might not. My anticipation is that U.S. exports will increase, maybe not tomorrow, but they will before the marketing year is over. I would anticipate that that U.S. exports could increase a minimum of 200,000 bales. I would not be surprised to see U.S. exports increase 400,000 bales, and I'm sure I'm out on a limb with that comment, but I can give you a scenario that's supported by mill margins outside of China and also a smaller Indian and Pakistani crop. That's really basically what I'll say about the U.S. right now until I make some acreage forecasts. Looking at the current world situation, USDA has 117 million bale production, and that's down 8 million bales from last year's 125 million. Consumption is estimated at 106 million bales, and that's up 3 million bales from last year. It's also, I would say, down 3 million from where USDA began the year. July estimate was 106 million bales. All of this adds together and gives us an 11 million bale increase in carryover, taking it to USDA's current 80 million bales, 79 point plus. So 80 million bales, and those numbers are going to change. That we know, they always do. There's too much of the marketing year remaining. The harvest is truly not complete, but almost. We would not be surprised to see the U.S. crop lowered a little bit more. I said I still look for exports to increase. And they, what was it, last month they increased exports 200,000. I still think there's more room there, as I said. But we'll see this, and the disclaimer is some folks will laugh. The Chinese reserve stock situation—that's got us all by the tail. But I don't know that I can shed any penetrating light on that at all to you. But I think it's fairly imperfectly understood, and I will attempt to make my comments on that anyway. But you pick up today. I've got a few over there on the table. Whether it be the Financial Times, whether it be the L.A. Times, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, China Daily, there will be at least one, and in some of them at least three articles about the new leadership in China and about their consumer orientation. The other article that pops up is China attempting to relocate much of its agricultural production from the what we'll call the Eastern Seaboard to the west or the northwest of China, and that will be a policy that they will follow. We don't know how successful they will be, but given the organization of their government, they will probably be quite successful. So we'll just have to see how that occurs, and I think it does affect cotton production over there, and will actually impact on the longer term future of cotton production and cotton spinning in China, not so much in the short term. But China has been the big bear that's been on our back for so long in trying to figure out what to do. And then just certainly in my opinion, I think many people have missed this simply because we tend to look, as economists, we look at supply and demand. And as we look at supply and demand, we see this huge supply of cotton in China, an 80 million bale carryover, 10 million bales more than we've ever had, roughly. And we see this 80 million bale carryover. Well, prices ought to be 50 cents. Prices ought to be 55 cents. Prices ought to be 60 cents. And for months, I know I have said, no, this cotton is not available to the market. You can't put it in there. You can't include it in the consumption. Will it be available to the market? Yes, absolutely. For years, we had cotton in the CCC loan here in the United States in the 50s and 60s that was not available to the market. And now China has picked up that role. Should China decide to dump this cotton, then India and the CCC loan will have to stand up and carry the cotton again. But China, in my opinion, has too much invested to dump cotton, and in my opinion, they absolutely will not. Let's just look at some numbers in China for a few minutes, if we can. The Chinese carryover that we talk about, 46, 48 million bales of cotton. Hopefully this year they'll use 40 million bales, so if they used everything they had in stocks today, they'd still have an 8 million bale carryover. Of the 30, 31, 29.5 million bale crop that China produced this year in 2012, the government bought approximately 25 million of those bales. The government bought that cotton, paid the grower directly for that cotton. Didn't pay the grain grower, didn't pay the oilseed grower, didn't pay the hog producer, paid the cotton grower directly for his cotton. Says something about what they're trying to do with cotton. They keep the government heavily involved. The futures price, they bought that 25 million bales of cotton this year, 25-26 of that 30 million bale crop, around $1.47 or $1.48 a pound. That's what they paid the grower. Not a bad price. Futures price in China, you can buy cotton off the futures market, a little bit different market than we have, for about $1.41 today. You import cotton, you have a quota, and you import cotton, you land it at the mill for about $1.27. Now, we can go a few cents either way on this. If you have a sliding scale quota, you might can get it down to $1.20, $1.22, something of that nature. And but what we also see is basically that China has a tremendous amount of money locked into their cotton reserves. Are they really willing to lose it? Well, who knows that? I certainly can't answer that. But historically, they have not been willing to do that, at least in a short-term period. I think as we look at the Chinese program that has been semi-announced, not formally announced, and I am told is actually still waiting on the minister's desk for a signature, that they plan to release cotton from these stocks, these 48 million bales, to the textile mills at $1.38 a pound. Now, again, they've got as much as $1.47, $1.48, $1.49 in that cotton, so they're getting ready to take a 10-cent hickey on any bale they sell out of the reserves, and it's the current price that's said to be that it will be released at is $1.38. Now, and they're saying that if the Chinese textile mill, spinning mill, will buy three bales, we will give you one bale of quota-free cotton. We will give you one bale of quota-free cotton. So you pay $1.38 a pound, three bales, and then you're able to get a quota-free bale in there for about a dollar. You can land it for about a dollar. So you got three. If you got $4 and $4.40 or so. So you've got $1.20 in that cotton, plus a little more than that actually. And by the time you average down, but still you can land quota-free cotton for less than that. You can land cotton that has a 40% penalty on it because you don't have a quota for just a little more than that. So the idea that China releasing its stocks is bearish to the market, I would say, is certainly not true at all because, again, come back and look, they're looking to spend about 39 million bales. Who knows, maybe 40, maybe 41, maybe only 38. But they bought 25 million bales of this product, of this, so they've got to release it in order to get cotton spun. Now, the spinning margins inside China have been very tight, very difficult. In fact, it's driven the Chinese to import yarn. The textile mills have found out that what they're doing to fight this high price of in-country cotton versus cotton that they could import, basically they're doing several things to survive. They are importing cotton, and we're well aware of that. Specifically to China, but we sold, over 2 million bales exports in a six-week period in November, December. The Chinese are importing yarn. I was looking at a data series, and I have not been able to check it, but it's a small number, but it's indicated that the U.S. had exported 600 tons of yarn to China. Now, that's a minuscule number. It's meaningless, really, but the idea that we may have done that is significant, particularly when you look at, again, some would say small numbers, but we see now that Pakistan is exporting record amounts of yarn to China. We see all the Asian countries, and including India and Pakistan, exporting yarn to China. And this is one way that China has fought the domestic price situation in a very negative sense. The other way they've fought it is they've upped their polyester ratio as much as they could. Now, why are these foreign mills outside of China doing so well and increasing consumption at a very rapid rate? Actually, in China is not. Well, again, the price situation that we have in China, it's not competitive for the mills to use their own cotton. It's a lot more competitive to import cotton. But also, as we look at the polyester situation around the world, basically in Pakistan, cotton is down 24%. Polyester's down only 7%. So cotton has become a good fiber to use again in Pakistan. Look at Asia in general. Cotton is down about 25%. Polyester's down only 15 or 16%. So cotton is gaining a ratio back, gaining a part of that lost fiber mix back in that regard. But in China, cotton is down 3% in the cash market, and polyester is down 10%. So the Chinese government policy, again, is to push polyester consumption. And again, with respect to these articles with the new leadership suggesting that they're going to become extremely consumer-oriented, I would tend to think that over time, over the long run again, we will see more cotton consumption by the per capita consumption by the individual Chinese. The Chinese consumer and the U.S. consumer is relatively very happy now. They are spending money. You look at Gap, you look at Macy's, you look at all those stores that sell a lot of cotton goods. Sales are up 5%, 4% month on month, year on year. So the U.S. consumer is spending, and as well as the Chinese consumer. Looking at acreage, I would tend to suggest that let me get back. I tend to think that we'll see more exports into stronger consumption numbers. USDA is going to have to increase its consumption numbers in Bangladesh and basically throughout Asia, and all the Vietnam, all of those countries, and that's where I could see as much as 400,000 more bales of U.S. cotton go and export, though that's probably a little high, but there will be other cottons available. And then you look at the Indian crop and the Pakistani crop, and both of those crops are coming well short of predictions, and basically they had a monsoon problem. They did not get the rain, and then they got some rain late, and a lot of folks thought that, well, that's going to make up for it, and I think we're finding out now that no, the late rains, while it did help, they were not that big of a help. Looking at acres, I would tend to think my number. I noticed Bloomberg did a survey, or was it Reuters? I've forgotten. And the average that they came out with was 10.3 million acres. I felt good yesterday. I talked to a couple of Georgia folks. One said he didn't know anything. The other one, I think, knows a great deal. And they indicated it'd be fairly stable in Georgia, and that's the most optimistic news I've heard about any state with respect to their planting intentions. And I can believe the Georgia situation. It's hard for me to think it's going to be stable, but I think down 5, 6, 7% will be stable itself if that's all it's down. Those of us that have thought the acreage might be down to 8.5, 8.6, 8.8, I think we're thinking that Georgia would be down just as much as the Carolinas, just as much as, or not quite as much as the Mid-South. But with Georgia being having the heavy weight in that district, I would tend to think that the Southeast is probably going to be down only about 30%, maybe 25%. Would expect a 35% reduction in the Carolinas and Virginia. Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Arkansas will be down 50%. Okay, so if I'm wrong, it's just 45%. Missouri will be somewhat stable. But those of us that thought acreage should be higher have probably put more acreage in Texas and a lot more acreage in the Mid-South. But the Mid-South seems to be committed to reducing that crop size. So I'm hanging with a number of about 9.3 to 9.6 million acres is what I think we'll see planted this year. And when we try to turn that into bales, it's difficult. I will apologize to you. I did not get to hear the weather speaker a couple of days ago. Wish I had, but I've got a weather fellow that I talk to that actually is as for years and years, I met him when I was in New York, as a weather professor and teaches all the weather forecasters how to make mistakes. He tells me, unfortunately for you Texas folks, that he told me last year, I think they're beginning a 5 to 6 year drought. And he tells me that's still in progress. Now, we've got a little rain here today, a little rain here, there, and yonder, but it's not much. So I get very concerned about what kind of crop we will have next year, and that'll show up in my price forecast here in a minute. We look around. Brazil would probably, certainly not this year, they've already planted, and they were reducing their plantings. I think the following season they will increase in 2014. India will probably be level to increase this coming year, 2013, as will Pakistan, again because mill margins have been so strong, particularly in the 20s, the better some of the quality yarns, and the 30s as well. Where do we go from here? I think probably let me make a few comments about price. Again, I would just reemphasize that, in my opinion, we made a long-term low this year with that 64, 65 cent level. We ended December with a slight inverted head and shoulders formation that would project this market into the low 80s. I think, you know, we first found a lot of support around 72 cents, and every time we'd drop down to 72, would shoot up immediately. And in that same time period is when we sold 2 million bales of cotton in 6 weeks. It would get up to 74, 74 and a half, market would shut off. And now then we're at a place where the market's at 74 and a half, 75, 76, and we're not making those kinds of sales, but we're making very strong sales at that level, and we take it up to 77 and try to go above 77, and then all of a sudden demand shuts off again. So there is tremendous demand below this market. Basically, we look at textile mills. Cotlook did a study, and I'm going to speak off the cuff on this, did a survey, not a study, very recently released. In the first quarter, mills are reasonably covered, but they do need as much as 20% of the cotton. Second quarter, they need to purchase as much as 40% of their cotton. Third and fourth quarters, they need to purchase more than 50% of their cotton. And there won't be any new crop cotton until the fourth quarter, the very beginning of the fourth quarter. So basically the first month of the fourth quarter, there really won't be any new crop cotton. So there is a tremendous amount of mill covering, mill buying, that the mills have to do that they have not done. They've not done this in the past year or so. They didn't have to. The cotton was out there. They knew it was there. And it was a little high, so they just waited for it. And now then they were thinking, guilty as others, in my opinion, that this market was 60 cents or 50 cents or something like that, and felt that this market was, the market was going to come down to them. I recall Carl at the New York meeting, I said this market is 15 cents underpriced. It was at 70 cents then. We got it to 77, 78, so at least I got the middle. We got it back up. And again, I think this market is going to be strong. I would suggest to you that given what needs to be purchased, coupled with most of this crop has been committed. Most of this 2012 crop has been committed. There's a little cotton here, there, and yonder. There's a good block in the Frank zone that's still not committed, but most of it is committed. So what I'm saying there is that the merchant selling and the co-op selling, for the most part, is done. The selling is done. So when futures get up, when the new crop broke into a new range 2 weeks ago, when new crop now at 78, 79 cents, when December gets up to 80 cents and can ease above 80 cents, it'll have a little difficulty doing that, I grant you. But when it does, I predict that there will be an extreme void of any selling. There won't be any selling left to do. And if there's no selling left to do, then the buyer has to pay up. So I see the market December going up to 82, 83 cents. I would have already priced a quarter of my cotton, and I've not seen the market actually today. I would price it with December 78 and a half. I'd price a quarter of it. I'd sit back and not price any more until 80 cents, and then I'd sit back and wait for 82 cents. And above 82 cents, you're on your own. I do get it. At that time, I do consider the fact that the Chinese, if they begin to import cotton, they can basically and pay the without quota and pay the quota penalty, they then will be on the same level as buying their own cotton for domestic use. So that would conclude my comments. I appreciate your time, and if I can answer any questions, I'd be happy to, or if you think I'm all wet in a number of areas, you can let me know that as well. JT, good to see you. I don't think that impacts cotton prices. The question is, with the temporary extension of the 2008 Farm Bill to October in the fiscal cliff signature signing the other day, will that impact cotton prices for this calendar year? I'd say no. I don't see any. Mark, you or Craig may have a comment on that, but I don't see that it impacts it at all. Or someone else may have a comment. Yes, sir. I think you commented that Joe Nicosia mentioned $1.20 a pound for the roughly for the internal price in China, internal cotton price, and I referenced a number of prices. I would say that I'm not sure what to say other than to say that cotton, if you take it off the futures market, which is a whole lot easier to do there than here in the United States, you're about $1.41. The government bought the crop at $1.47. The cash market price for China is down only about 3%. So I'm not sure it's $1.21. I can land cotton in China with a 6% VAT and no quota penalty for $1.21. I'm not sure exactly what his $1.21 is. I can buy three bales from the Chinese government, and then they'll let me import one bale free, and that'll be close to $1.21, $1.22, $1.23. So I'm not exactly sure what he referenced, and some of you may have some better information or understand things much better than I do and have a better Chinese price. I don't want to make light that China is not a problem. China is a problem, but in that regard, the U.S. has been a problem to the market before, too. And if it's to our advantage, then it's to our advantage, and that's great. I'm glad we do it or did it. But I don't think this Chinese, and this is not to start a debate, because if it does, I'm not going to participate. I'm going to lie and say I didn't say it. You have to understand that Joe looks at it from a merchant's perspective, and he's trying to cover things as a merchant. And I'm looking at it more from a farmer's perspective, and I'm attempting to look at it really more from just a cold, blank stare at it and use what little economics I pass to analyze it and pass it on to you. Joe is the spokesman for the American cotton shippers, and that's great. I will say he's about the smartest man I know in the cotton business. Any other questions, comments? I appreciate your time. You're welcome to contact us at any time. Be happy to try to help. Thank you so much for your time.